I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Pharrell on a bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. The bad seed, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad out of bad taste. Bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Quicken Loan Studios in New York City. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion check out up should do. Oh, my friend, then come around, fight to Porter, rats on the west side, bed by hustle town, what a mess, this town's entitled. My brain's been splattered all over Manhattan, should it be shake out? Are you with us tonight from New York? Oh, a little Metallica for you, do you wanna get heavy? Yeah, yeah. Oh, push. Ha. Get it. Share holding the key. Carver High's in here tonight. I'm better than you. Mafia winner tonight with the Pharrell Ballers. Down 8 with 9 to go. Ballers clamp down, win by 9. Come on. Always getting it done for you. Oh, yeah, I'm alive, baby. Going to Vegas tonight. Very nice. Very nice. And nowhere to be. Better than you. Pharrell's better than you, baby. Certainly at hoops and picking winners. Carver High's got a gambling problem. Here we go. We want to hear from you tonight. Because once we're in Vegas, we ain't listening to nobody. Come on. Oh, you know we'll be at that MGM in the morning. Come on. You better get that breakfast buffet ready. Come on. We coming in, baby. What's up, Sin City? 855-212-4CBS-4227. There you go. Dan Favalli will join us from Bleacher Report. NBA writer, does the national skinny. And then Jerry Hinnan, our college football insider, at 11:03 Eastern. So he's going to talk about Jalen Hurts and all these people moving around, playing for new teams. I've already forgot the kid's name. Martell, is that his name? The kid going to Miami, is that his name? I just wanted to say, Carver, I want to punch Gritty in the face because Tate Martell's the kid going to Miami. They played at Ohio State. So Gritty is painful. Am I right? Because they suck. Meanwhile, they're winning tonight against the Bruins, right? With a minute left, they're going to win. And so Gritty's out there getting all cocky and dancing and showing off and, you know, getting in people's faces and everything and doing his thing, right? Like, he's trying to be the Philly fanatic is what he's trying too hard to be. So I just want to skull him in the face. How would that be for you? Do you have a problem with that plan?
Not necessarily. I wouldn't, no.
Jalen Hurts is going to Oklahoma. Can you believe that? He'll transfer to play for Lincoln Riley and play for the Sooners next year. Will Hurts be successful at Oklahoma? I would think so. It's that simple. If he won at Alabama, he'll win there, right? How about this? How would you like to see Oklahoma play Alabama for the national championship? Hurts against Tua. Are you into that?
No, because that means that Oklahoma and Alabama are in it again. But, yeah, that would be kind of fun in terms of a storyline.
Believe me, you, it could very well happen.
Of course it will.
Oh, look at the Bruins scoring with a minute left. On the empty netter. With the extra attacker. And now it's a 4-3 game. Where's Gritty now? Scold. Manny Machado's agent, Dan Lozano, denies reports that the best offer on the table for his client is a 7-year, $175 million deal from the White Sox, and rip media members for false reports. Who cares what Dan thinks? How's that sound? Dan, no one cares what you think, actually. And people listen to the media, and they listen to these shows, and they read the papers, and they watch TV, and everyone's lying all day long, and people love it. And what we don't love is your rich, you know, ass giving us advice. How's that, Dan? Why don't you stay out of it before you get your ass beat? How does that sound? Dan, rich Dan living in his mansion. Hey, Dan, living on that, you know, those 4 points you got on every deal. Why don't you just mind your own business before someone beats your ass?
I thought the really crazy thing was something you really never see. He went specifically at two writers. You know, he mentioned in his statement, he was like, Bob Nightingale and Buster Olney. I've known these guys for a long time. I can't believe they would do this. Like, he was naming names. Like, he's going after guys. Like, well, calm down.
So now he gets a little taste of his own medicine.
Well, he's upset because it's true. All right? It's true, probably, that, you know.
He's upset that they got the info.
Right. And that these guys all expected to get $300-400 million.
Don't you think it? How stupid is it? I don't care what their offers are. You know what I want to know? I want to know when the deal's done, where's he going? I don't care what the offers are. I want to know when he's doing it and where he's going. That's it. And then you can brag about how much money you got. And then you can have him and watch him loaf and watch him. What does he do? Doesn't he tick off everybody? He plays dirty. We know that. He plays dirty. He loafs. He's lazy. You know, what more could you ask for in a star player, right? A guy that doesn't hustle and that plays dirty and tries to hurt people. Do you remember the playoffs, what he did to the guy from the Brewers at first base? You can't tell me that guy didn't try to break his leg.
And not only that, he could be mad as he wants with the media. Guess what? If he didn't take 2 months to figure out where the hell he's going, then you wouldn't have them speculate about the deal because he'll already be done. I mean, to wait until, what, almost February now, waiting this guy to figure out where the hell he wants to go. Everyone's reporting in like 30 days.
But is anybody else signing?
No, but if you don't want the media to speculate and say what the numbers are, then go sign the damn deal already.
Listen, the media will continue to speculate and do shows on TV and radio until the end of time. And we're going to talk about all of this stuff, whether you like it or not, and the agents can kiss our ass. How does that sound? LeBron James has been cleared to return to the Lakers to practice next week and should return to game action shortly thereafter. Can the return of LeBron jumpstart the Lakers? Well, of course. Adrian Broner is confident he can handle Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao on Saturday night on Showtime pay-per-view. You can order the fight. Call your cable operator. It's on Showtime pay-per-view at the Grand Garden Arena. We're going to Vegas. You heard me singing that in the Metallica open. Mavi, are you excited to go to Vegas tonight with me at 4 in the morning?
Not to go at 4 in the morning, but I'm excited to be out there. I was just thinking to myself when we came in here, you know, I think it's been probably, might be 2 years since I've been to Vegas. Because Carver High, I went for the Patriots-Falcons one. Carver High went to last year's Super Bowl. We didn't go to college football the last 2 years, and he was out there for the Mayweather-McGregor fight. It might have been almost 2 years that I've been to Vegas.
I did the last two full week Vegas trips.
Right.
Yeah, I've done the last two because, like Mavi said, Patriots-Falcons was you guys in that January. That August, I went for college football.
And the
Mayweather-McGregor fight. We were there for like almost two weeks that trip.
Right.
And then the following January, which was a year ago, I was there for Patriots-Eagles.
Do you like, be honest, do you like it, the long trip with me to Vegas, or is it taxing on you by like the eighth day?
Well,
are you about sick and tired of me by then, or what is
it? It's not you that I'm sick and tired of. The hard days are, you know, during the days of when we have the show at night. Because normally I'd be like drinking all day or gambling. Like if you're there for a week, you can't gamble all day long. You just can't do it.
No.
I mean, you're going to run out of dough.
Right.
So, like, the days that we do the show, Monday through Friday, you know, we have, like, a little bit of a system. We'll get up and have breakfast, go
hot
chill
tub.
At the hot tub for a little bit, take a little nap.
I go work out, then take a nap.
And then we meet, you know, probably around 4 Vegas time, 4 or 5 o'clock Vegas
time.
To
watch sports.
To watch the games at the Long Bar and then go up. Because if we weren't doing all that, all I'd be doing is walking around a casino looking to gamble all day.
Right.
So, and I can't drink because we got the show at night.
Right.
So now when we get there Saturday and Sunday, you know, all bets are off.
All bets.
But the days we're there are the toughest days during the day, just waiting to go.
It's crazy that we're going tomorrow morning, and then we're coming back Sunday, and then we're going back Saturday and staying there for 10 days.
Yeah, you got some quick whip-arounds here.
It's a serious, like, the rest of the month is going to be serious. So we could easily chip a tooth. There's potential for chipping tooth. How about, like, the Starbucks people? Like, you've seen it, Carver. They know me by name at that place, at the Nugget.
Yes, at the Nugget, the Starbucks there.
Because I go more than anyone. But that stuff, I got to stay off of that. It's,
You're not going to be getting those this year?
I got to stay off of it because once I start, I can't stop. It's like crack.
What are you going to be having?
Well, it's expensive.
Well, that too.
And it's fattening. That's the thing. It's just horrible for you, right? I mean, that stuff, I think half of the reason I was highest fat ass weight I've ever had is because Mavi and I were stopping every night at Starbucks and having a double caramel macchiato hot pleasure trip. That's what I know. Title games are Sunday in Kansas City and New Orleans. Pharrell and Abench.com has you covered. Picks for everything every day. NBA, college rack, NHL, boxing, MMA. Pharrell and Abench.com sets the standard. Sign up today. Hide the money from your wife. You know the deal. We're going to Vegas. We'll be at the MGM Thursday and Friday doing the show Pacquiao Fight Saturday night. Then we go back for the Super Bowl week. We do shows the 28th through the 1st at the D View Bar every night, second floor of the D Casino downtown on Fremont Street with 1140, our affiliate in Las Vegas, and William Hill. Come see us live. And the biggest big game bash ever is at the downtown Las Vegas Event Center right at the D. It's incredible. Go and get a man cave or a table ordered at downtownwatchzone.com. It's free entry. All ages are welcome at the Bash. Tomorrow, episode 123 of Pharrell and Abets, my sports betting podcast on westwoodonepodcast.com, iTunes, and Google Play. It's available wherever podcasts are. Subscribe free. Follow me on Twitter at OnTheBetsWWO. We'll be doing the podcast as well from Vegas, and your boy Mafia will be on it every day. And he's like, are you going to pay me for that? Because I don't really want to do it. Notice how he didn't talk about hanging out with me either. He doesn't want to hang out with me either, this guy. So we'll see. There's a lot of trouble that could be had in Las Vegas. All right, so there you go. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Dan Favalli is next from Bleacher Report.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, Dan Favalli's with Bleacher Report, the national NBA writer. I have to say that... I'm a fan of Bleacher Report, and their coverage of sports is great. And basketball, as much as I love it, I think it's pretty fantastic the way they cover it. I go on there every day and use it for sure, and it helps me a great deal in knowing everything that's going on around the league. So I think you guys do a hell of a job, to be honest with you.
Well, I appreciate the kind words. Thank you.
So keep it up. People like me count on it, love it, and I think a lot of fans like it, and you guys really go over the top about literally every player, every team, every situation, every, you know, front office move, everything, like possibilities, guesstimates, things like that. I love all of it, and you guys really, I think, go above and beyond when it comes to basketball. You're really kicking ass and taking names. So you did your midseason report card. When it was all said and done, you had started about, you know, expectations and everything. What were your biggest surprises, if you will, after you got done doing it?
I think my biggest sweeping surprise was just how hard it was to give out bad grades. And I think that can kind of be chalked up to what right now is a 25-team playoff race when you look at both conferences and how 14 teams are really in it out west. And when a few of those teams were kind of forecasted, you look at the Mavericks, the Kings, the Grizzlies, to kind of enter that rock bottom strategy once you got to the halfway mark, and this is when we're looking at it in preseason, to still just be in it was kind of incredible. So it took a lot of nitpicking and it's always easy to give out some criticisms in the Eastern Conference, but the West is as brutal as it's ever been.
So, one of the things I found refreshing that you did was the A-minus you gave to the Brooklyn Nets, because I got to tell you, I think Kenny Atkinson is really doing a hell of a job with this team. And I mean, overall, not just where they are, because they're in the picture, and they're definitely, you know, a possibility for the postseason. I think they're going to make it. I think you do, too. But, I mean, if I were them, literally, I think the job that this guy's at, what he inherited and what they've turned it into, and even their workout facility and everything overlooking New York City is badass. I mean, I think it's becoming very attractive to players that are seeing that Kenny Atkinson is a badass and he's doing a hell of a job. I think the Nets should be smart to give that guy an extension now, because I think he deserves it, frankly. I think he's coaching his way into a long-term thing with the Nets.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And there were people that were, at some point last season, kind of calling for his job, probably just frustrated fans, tired of the losing. But you look at the Nets and the way they play, they're built for today's NBA, and you would think that appeals to players. I don't know how you choose the Knicks over the Nets if you're a free agent, other than historical cachet. And I think the big thing here is you look at the Nets' top guys, who aren't even stars, but you look at their top guys, and Kenny Atkinson still finds ways to get all of those other players on the bench involved. Tonight against the Rockets is a perfect example. Travion Graham, who spent a lot of the season injured, doesn't get consistent rotation minutes, was a huge part defensively down the stretch of the fourth quarter, forcing overtime. And so you are going to most likely get an opportunity with this team. And again, how well they're coached, the appealing play style that they have employed there, I think it's going to start to resonate with free agents as they get cap space this summer and in 2020.
They took the Rockets to overtime. They're down three. The Celtics are going to beat the Raptors tonight, it would appear to me. And, the funny thing is, we were just talking last night with A'Rod Blakely in Boston with NBC about how bad they've been, kind of average, just, you know, 7 games over .500, they'll go to 8 games over. But the bottom line is they were losing, and then people are getting upset, and everyone thinks that Kyrie's going to leave and all this other nonsense. He's not going anywhere, and they're fine. And the funny thing is, Dan, is that they beat good teams. It's all the average and loser teams that they seem to not get up for, and they lose to. But, like, tonight they're proving again, in their division, in their conference, they win games. It's everywhere else they seem to struggle.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Terry Rozier kind of said it, that they have too much talent, which you don't think ever to be a thing. But when you look at this roster and some of the sacrifices guys have had to make, not just Gordon Hayward coming off the bench, but Jaylen Brown at points this season coming off the bench, Rozier himself. And when you're talking about those two guys, or even someone like a Jason Tatum, when they have to make sacrifices so early in their career, or if you're like Rozier and Brown and you're kind of approaching your next payday, it's really difficult because you want to stand out. And I think we've seen Brad Stevens and the Celtics in general just struggle with that role distribution after Kyrie Irving. You know he's the guy, but they're still trying to flesh out that pecking order around him, and it's so hard to do on a nightly basis because of all that talent and the stages that all these guys are at in their career, including a Gordon Hayward who's still trying to work his way back from a serious injury.
Dan Favalli with Bleacher Report. Luka Doncic has been so good. You gave him a B+. I think he's incredible. I love watching him play. Now, the team's not really winning a lot, but they are certainly tough to play. And is that guy's success so drastic that it's the reason they're going to try to deal Dennis Smith Jr.?
Yeah, I don't even think that's a question at this point. They're not a totally impossible fit because Dennis Smith Jr. has done some things off the ball as a shooter and a cutter, but he is ball dominant at heart. And when you have Luka Doncic, you just have to surround him with a bunch of complimentary off-ball guys. And that's just not who Dennis Smith Jr. is going to be. The Mavs, that they're so committed to building around him, and I think you have to be. He just looks like this inevitable All-NBA candidate, this inevitable MVP hopeful. You have to start putting that plan into action immediately, but also you want to try and capitalize on the draft cachet that Dennis Smith Jr. still has as that top 10 prospect. He hasn't been great for them. The on-off numbers do not love him, and yet he's only in year two, so you can still sell him as that high-end prospect. And while I'm typically against selling on guys this early into their career, this is a situation where the Mavericks almost have to do it because his value is not going to grow alongside Doncic.
Dan Favalli, the Pacers and Clippers, you gave A-. I'm with you on that. I think that Clippers team is rugged, And defensively, I love him with Beverly and these guys, Bradley. I got to tell you, I don't think they're that bad. And, you know, I think they play on the same level, frankly, as the Lakers, if not better. And the Pacers, I am surprised at really the last couple of years how good they've been and what Oladipo's done to make that his club, and he's become a rock star.
Yeah, both those teams are just surprising when you look at what they're able to do offensively despite imperfect shot profiles. The Clippers, they're not a great defensive team, but as you kind of mentioned, they really compete there. And while Indiana, unlike Los Angeles, kind of has that semi-conventional superstar in Victor Oladipo, he's still so early into that part of his career that the kind of ego just isn't there. And you look at both these teams, that's how they play. There just doesn't seem to be a measurable ego there. They are both offense by committee, and you have a bunch of guys who will work their tails off on the defensive end. And while that's not necessarily a recipe to win a championship, you look at what the Pacers are kind of doing near the top of the Eastern Conference. You look at some of the games the Clippers have been able to win against heavyweights this year, and you can see that they're the type of really competitive teams that are going to throw wrenches in the NBA hierarchy one way or the other.
Hey, I'm just not even close to being done with you. I have so many more questions I want to ask you. I'm not going to fight this clock and everything else. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to come back, and we're going to keep going off with Dan Favalli of Bleacher Report. The guy's just rock-starring it tonight with us. We're going to talk about the rest of the teams, what they're doing. Players that could move. Is the Porzingis thing to shut him down for this year? He's not into that. And we'll talk about everything, including the draft next year, like those top five picks that, you know, three of them are going to be dookies. We're talking to Dan Favalli of Bleacher Report.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, we're talking to Dan Favalli of Bleacher Report. So the Rockets ended up losing to the Nets in overtime, and I don't know if you knew this, but the Rockets shot 73-pointers in the game, and then the Nets shot 36 of them. It's the most ever by, I think, one team, and it's the most ever by two teams combined in a game. I mean, can you even imagine that the Rockets shot 70? I got to tell you, though, the defense they put on Harden on that last possession, and then Rivers missed the three, and Allen got the rebound. That was great defense. I don't care how many points he had at the end of the game. They shut him down. He had 58, but when it mattered most, he couldn't get a shot off, and Rivers missed it, and that's why they lost.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you watched the game, and during regulation, it definitely felt like the Rockets were going to break that record. It was come down the floor, fire a three, and the adjustments the Nets made at the end, where it was more so than the rest of the game, just forced everyone else around Harden to make plays. And when you don't have Clint Capella to roll towards the rim or Chris Paul as your safety valve and you're turning to Austin Rivers as your second option, that's a problem, and the Nets really did a good job of exploiting it down the stretch.
And Dinwiddie had, I think, like, what did he have? He had 33 in a game, including the game winner in the paint on a little reverse spin popper, and he got fouled and made the bucket and gave him the lead, and then Harris got a rebound. Allen got the rebound, gave it to Harris. He got fouled. He made both, and that's how they won. By three, the Rockets missed a shot at the end. So let me ask you, Pelicans, you gave them a C. What is the deal? How do you think the future bodes for AD in Bourbon Street? He said he loves it there, the fans, the food, the jambalaya, Bourbon Street, everything. But you still think he leaves?
Yeah, I mean, Pelicans fans don't want to hear it, and I think we really need to commend Anthony Davis for kind of how he's handled the situation. He's not making any promises, yet he's saying all the right things at the same time. But they're just not there, and they're not close. And this hasn't just been a couple years of them kind of cozying up to mediocrity. It's been basically for his entire career. They've tried to rush the retooling process around him on two or three major occasions, and the closest they've really come to finding something looked like that DeMarcus Cousins trade, and the Achilles injury just blew it up. I don't know if he will spell it out for them over the summer or before the trade deadline that he's not coming back, but assuming he's still on the team after this season and they offer him that extension, my guess is that he is going to refuse it and they're going to have no choice but to trade him somewhere else.
So, Dan, Porzingis, do you think the Knicks shut him down or let him play, let's say, the last 10 games? And is it true that the Sixers are hot on Noah Vonleh? And while you're at it with the Knicks, can you believe that Enes Kanter, that Turkey's trying to extradite him and make him a literally a terrorist is what they're calling him?
Yeah, the Enos Kanter front, nothing surprises me. That's coming out of that whole regime right now. So you just hope that not only is he able to remain safe here, but his family over there is able to remain safe as well. The Knicks with Kristaps Porzingis, it's really tough to tell because it does seem like they're going back and forth. My guess would be, though, that they'll kind of do what Indiana did with Paul George. I think it was in 2015 where he came back really towards the tail end of the season just to get his beak wet before coming back the next year and recapturing his form. And I do think, even though the Knicks are trying to improve their lottery odds, that it's kind of important for them to get just even a tiny feel of where Porzingis is after this ACL injury, because he's headed to restricted free agency. If they don't give him a max offer sheet, someone else is going to, and they're probably going to have to match it. You just kind of want to know what you're going to get yourself into, even though that's not going to be a large sample. And the Sixers stuff with Noah Vonleh, it makes sense. It's just they need depth all around, but particularly in the front court, he has played well, even brought the ball up the floor for the Knicks at times. And New York would be wise to shop him. He's going to cost money to re-sign this summer, and they're not really at a point where they should be reinvesting in guys that they don't have bird rights for, especially if they want to remain players for some of the big-name free agents. So if they're able to get a pick, a second-round pick or something out of the Philadelphia 76ers, I think it's a deal that they should definitely be considering.
How exciting do you think the Sacramento Kings are? I love watching this team, too. They can light it up.
Yeah, they play fast and never stop. We tend to see these teams slow down as you get later in games or in crunch time when the score's close and you're really trying to burn out possessions. They just don't do that. And I think that's why they failed pretty well in close games this year. They just keep coming at you. It doesn't matter what the lead is and how much time is left. They're going to try and look to get a basket as quick as possible. And you look at the leap that De'Aaron Fox has made around better spacing. I think Bogdanović has come a long way defensively in addition to what he's doing on offense. Buddy Hield has quickly become one of the most underrated offensive players in the league. They're just really fun to watch. And while I don't think you can trust the front office to make the right decisions with this team moving forward when we look at their cap space and some trades that they might make, it does seem like they have the core to push themselves in the right direction for the first time in more than a decade.
So let me ask you this question. Do you think Deion Waiters is right or not about his role now with the limited minutes that E has given him?
He's wrong, just because Deion Waiters isn't great at full strength, and he's also coming back from a major ankle injury for a team that's trying to stay in the playoff race. If they want to bring him along slowly, or they're going to try and win games to see him watch from the bench for most of them and certainly down the stretch, that's just part of the process. And I think when you look at kind of the Heat's roster, where they have a ton of ball dominant players who aren't necessarily top tier creators, Waiters falls into that batch of players. And so it's more valuable for the Heat to have these off ball guys on the floor. And I think if you're head coach Eric Spoelstra, there's probably more value in putting Wayne Ellington back into the rotation before you really lean on Deion Waiters for heavy minutes.
Okay. Dan Favalli, last but not least, let me just ask you, how do you feel about this, big board that everyone's drawing up for the NBA draft when, you know, the season's over with, you know, Zion being the prize, RJ Barrett, this Jarrett Culver, who's, in my view, snuck into it. Reddish was supposedly the, you know, 1-2-3 Dookies, but now this this guy slipped into the picture. And obviously, I don't think anybody knew about Kevin Porter Jr. either. What do you think of the alleged draft order heading into the offseason of these exciting kids out of Duke?
My two big thoughts on it is I think Kevin Porter Jr. is going to continue to rise. There are just a lot of smart people that I trusted that kind of started looking at him for this draft class last year. And just with the tools that he can bring on both sides of the ball, I think that's going to vault him off draft boards in a draft that's really kind of begging for someone to party crash that top three. And when you look at those Duke players, to me, I know there's debate and most of it leans toward Barrett, but I'm taking Cam Reddish before I'm taking RJ Barrett. I just think that it's harder in college to play more of a complementary role on offense while competing on the defensive end. And the fact that he's done that, to me, makes me think that he's going to be an easier fit and ultimately the player with the higher ceiling in the NBA.
I mean, you really have outdone yourself tonight, Favalli. I mean, you just did literally a 40-minute chunk of NBA rack talk on the bench all over North America. Do you feel good or do you feel like you need a shower?
No, I feel good. So thank you for having me.
I mean, you really lit it up. I got to tell you, from three tonight, you were shooting 60%. I mean, you really had it going. You were like Steph Curry tonight, jacking threes and falling. I mean, it was just falling like rain.
Well, if you could see me right now, I'd probably be blushing, so thank you.
Way to go. Hey, great job tonight, brother. I appreciate you doing a double shot with us. Mafia, pour him a beer. Dan Favalli of Bleacher Report. Way to go, Dan. Thanks for coming on the bench.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, there he is. Dan Favalli, Bleacher Report. All right, Carter High. I got to ask you this question. I really do. You see the Nets tonight, right? I don't know if you caught the end of that game, because you could have watched the last minute and got all you needed to know. The game had more three-pointers than any game in history. The Rockets shot more threes than any team in history in a game. Harden had 58. The guys, 30-plus every night, 40-plus five times. But I don't think that was a triple-double tonight. So four-time 40-plus triple-doubles. Tonight, 58. The other night, he had 50-something, right? 53, whatever it was. 56, whatever the hell it was. They clamped down on him and shut him down on that last possession, and Rivers missed the three. That's why they won the game. I don't care if you have 58, you lose. It doesn't even matter how many. They're going to talk about how great he is tomorrow and that they shot 73. They lost to the Nets.
Yeah, and that's the way it is. It's the way it goes sometimes. And the Nets are hot right now. They're playing great ball. I love seeing
Woo!
It. Proud of the Nets.
Woo!
Proud.
That's our team, Mafia.
Listen, with the CP3 injury and how long he's been out with that leg, with Capella now out 4 to 6 weeks, this is a team that was already lacking depth because of losing guys like Trevor Ariza. Now having – you have Gordon, you have Harden, and you don't have much else behind him. That's why they went and made the Austin Rivers signing, to try to get some more offense there. He's still got to figure out where he fits in that team, figure out how to get in the mix. But he's not like a dead three-point shooter. He's not a guy that's going to take over a game if you lock down Harden, double and triple team him. So that seems to be the way everyone's going to have to play him. And, yeah, he might get his points still. He's still going to get foul calls because the refs blow the whistle every time he's breathed on. But in the end, if you shut down everyone else, let him get his, frustrate him, make him really work for it, then that's the way you beat them.
So have you seen this kid, Morant, that plays at Murray State? Have you seen the highlights of him? Did you see over the weekend when he had that dunk on the baseline and he had his onions in some guy's grill? And
I did not see that.
He did a Michael Jordan, like, legs split, flying down the baseline dunk where he swung the Shasta right in some guy's face and grabbed the rim and racked it. He's the number six player on the board. And Darius Garland of Vanderbilt is a freshman point guard, number seven. No one's ever heard of him. Romeo Langford, no offense to the kid. It's great what he's done, and no one knows him. Romeo Langford's the kid at Indiana. Are you kidding me? That kid's going to play 1 year in Bloomington and go pro? Do you think that kid's ready for the NBA? Romeo Langford, for Christ's sakes?
I think a lot of these guys sometimes aren't ready, but they come out anyway. Somebody tells them, you're going to get drafted. Come out. That's it.
Jackson Hayes, 9 out of Texas, the big center. Keldon Johnson, Kentucky, shooting guard, freshman, number 10. I mean, half of these guys, you see this stuff. Bol Bol is the kid at Oregon. He's done for the year, but he's still number 11 on the big board. That's crazy. So whatever. I want you to know the Spurs came back and beat the Mavs tonight. Doncic had 25, 8, and 8. And then, but the Spurs were losing in that game. They were down 15 after one, and they outscored them 9 in the fourth quarter. I think that's what we did. 9-2 run won our game tonight, Mafia. Were you impressed that we won based on we were down 8 with 9 minutes to go? Did I already go through this on the air tonight? I don't think I did. I already did this. I'm having early Alzheimer's going on in here. I could have sworn I didn't talk about it. But honestly, we clamped down defensively like the Nets, and that's how we won the game.
That was a big thing because the ball wasn't falling nearly as good as it usually does for us. Not that we're like dead set shooters and we nail everything.
Do you think it was because of the new rims?
I do. I don't think they were nearly as forgiving as the old ones. There was, you know,
they were stiff.
No give whatsoever. So if you did not swish it, it wasn't going in, essentially.
It was bouncing around the rim all night. Like,
yeah.
Guys like me and Copper, we don't miss layups, and we were missing them left and right. They were just rolling off the rim. But we won with defense.
You know, you got to lock down defense. When the offense isn't flowing as easy as you want it to, you got to get stops, and that's what leads to transition. That's what leads to easy baskets.
Blake Griffin had 30 tonight. The Pistons won. The question I have is the Pistons are 19 and 24. They have I think Blake Griffin's been incredible this year, right? But they still suck. That's I just can't get over it. Like, I mean, they have – I think they have talent on that team, and they don't win. they won tonight in overtime over the Magic. They had to work way too hard, I thought. Bucks win by 10 in Memphis. The Grizzly season is going down the drain. Greek Freak had 27 tonight. Jazz and Clippers are underway. It's 18-15 early. Utah in Staples. And the Warriors, who seldom come out to play, are up a bucket on the Pelicans early at Oracle in the first. I'm watching that one. 13-11 Warriors. And remember, they're coming off the game in Denver last night where they just lit up the Nuggets. Coming up, Jerry Hinnan talking college football and all the transfers in college football.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.